This is part two of the
April 13th,
2010 Jimmy Doan Show.
The pre-tax show.
Hinduism has long been associated with pot since approximately 1500 BC. In fact, Hindu worshippers have been consuming pot, whether smoking it through a chilam, which is a clay pipe, or drinking bhang, a mixture consisting of pot mixed with milk, spice, and sugar, in the hope of achieving a higher spiritual level. Consider Bangalore's
works for me.
Chitradurga district in Karnataka state, southern India. It's a hilly region lined with dilapidated fortresses from times of antiquity, modern-day schools, colleges, and libraries, and many temples, one of which is notorious for its pot-smoking Hindu inhabitants. According to Jaipal Sharma from Asian News International, every March the temple's devotees smoke pot in celebration of their deity, Jack Rhodes.
Yeah,
it's all true. It's all true.
The deity,
the secret is out.
Man, yeah. that
Stitch guy's something else.
Yeah.
If you haven't had a chance, listen to the Hanger Dogs. They pumped out three in a row here, baby. Woo! There's a little Hanger Dog Zappola there for you. You see again, man? Here Woo! They are, you know.
After a long hiatus, you're trying
long
to make
hiatus,
trying to make up for it all in the same week or what?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you know, Gene's been turning those things around. Like the next day, they're out.
You got the new modem or whatever it was, too. He was talking about
not the phone box.
Not by the we would have done a show tomorrow night if we were there. We would have tried that out, but I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
haven't seen that. Unfortunately, I'm here.
Unfortunately,
where it's nice and warm.
Oh, I love that.
Where it's nice and warm.
Unfortunately,
and surrounded with high end talent. So
yeah, okay.
There you go.
Let's go. So anyway, to continue on with the Kelo thing, or the Justice Stevens, let's go back to square one. Just who was this provision of the Constitution supposed to restrict? This is the eminent domain. Answer, government officials. And to whom would Justice Stevens defer? Well, government officials. Why would those who wrote the Constitution waste good ink for putting that protection in there, if not protect citizens, from the very government officials to whom Justice Stevens deferred? And, of course, as you know, one of the things that the court does very often is they defer to the legislature.
Right.
On a lot of
they try to.
They try to, right. Well, of course, what Thomas Sowell says is this was one of those things where you're deferring the meal in the hen house to the foxes. Or
right, exactly.
Like that,
you know? You know, he's giving it all away.
Yeah, giving it all away.
He gets it wrong a lot. Unfortunately, Justice Stevens, that's what, in my recollection of reading his 35 years of cases, has happened many times. He's
right.
Missed the scope of the argument on many occasions. And so he gets it. He sort of reasons in okay to a point, but either he starts with a poor premise or somewhere in the middle he adopts a poor premise and never quite.
Well, you know what's surprising to me, though, is that in that particular case, of course, that was the majority. I think that was a fact.
Yeah.
And so there were four others that went along with it.
Yeah. And
what's up with that?
Trying is the first step toward failure.
Yeah.
That's my motto.
Well, we are. I think that they were all convinced by Justice Scalia's argument about stare decisis. That is to say, clearly the Wickard case supports that argument.
I'm gonna get more into that here in just a minute.
Okay. Well, so in other words, the justices that argued, there are several quote legitimate basis for a constitutional ruling,
right,
for a Supreme Court ruling. And one of them is cases that come before. You know this. I'm just doing this for the audience.
Right.
One of them is...
Well, for me.
is the cases that come before. That's called stare decisis.
Is that like precedent?
Yeah, precedents.
Okay.
So, now, precedents aren't absolute, obviously, because the law's got to be able to evolve. The Constitution is the top level of it all.
Right.
The actual writing of it.
Right.
And then there are other, like I said, legitimate, quote-unquote, legitimate bases for these decisions.
Well, they're interpretations. And once somebody does I guess it's like case law or something, you know, they come in and they've interpreted the Constitution. Well, let me put it this way. There are times that one provision of the Constitution may conflict with another one. And so
rare, though.
Well, no.
The idea is to try to read it consistently.
I understand that. But sometimes if you've got substantive due process versus, I mean, like the 14th Amendment or one of those, has got a couple things in it due process and some other stuff that can conflict with some other stuff. And so they base a ruling maybe on one clause or something of the Constitution when another one might have applied just as well.
Right. And I think they did that in the Kelo case. I think that they just all relied on the previous case law,
right,
which they should have overturned.
Right.
They should have.
Exactly. They had a perfect opportunity.
Which is, that's their purpose.
That is their purpose.
Right.
And I think they've lost sight of that. And I'm really hoping.
Well, I am too. And that's what I'm going to talk. The one, before I get in, I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
But I just did want to mention that fortunately, Hillary apparently is not going to be on the Supreme Court.
Okay, good.
Her name was put up, and
is there a sound for a bullet whizzing by?
I'm guessing that the problem
more like a comet.
Or a broom.
Yeah, or
a broom. Right.
Well, you know, I mean,
whistly one.
She probably was looking at a substantial pay cut. So they only get about $200,000 or $300,000, $204,000 or $205,000.
Yeah, but she's Secretary of State. It's not really
No, but she's got all the. But I mean, still, she's got all her other income, right?
No, but I think she mentioned that's something she wanted to do. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some time ago.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. No, it's Bill. Bill has aspirations for it, I believe.
Depends on her game plan. She may try to run for president.
That's true, too.
Yeah, I think she'll run.
I mean,
again.
Jimmy's prediction may still come to pass.
I'm not out of the woods yet.
Well, here's the deal. If the implosion happens, then she'll have a good argument for why she should have been the nominee.
Yep. And electee.
Right.
Okay.
Funny.
So now moving on to the another court thing. This is the big deal. This we're going to know.
It's Jimmy from South Park. Try to make Stitch feel at home.
Yeah, I understand that. Hey,
there's Janet.
Democrat, piss me off.
See, this is the Supreme Court is going to may have to be called in to weigh in on the coverage mandate.
Whatever. I ran for Congress and won. Then I had sex with an intern, killed her, and hit her body. Whatever. I'll do what I want.
So,
is that what the article said?
So the engineer
exactly what happened.
Has decided to call up all of the sound effects. Decided to go through South. You know, there's a fair use.
we're gonna have a Jimmy's appearance on the South Park show.
That was almost a Jack Rhodes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's Jack Rhodes when he was a youngster. That was Jack Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So as you well know, part of the health care is the requirement that you must buy insurance.
First time ever. Yeah. First time ever the United States Congress has tried to require by statute citizens forced to buy something.
Right.
This is what you
get. In the past, they bribed them. We bribe citizens all the time by saying, if you do this, we will give you some money.
Well, or we generally just take the taxes, and then we do with it what we want.
But right. This is a little different. What you do with that tax
money.
That's
a royal way you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But the point is that it is not at all uncommon for the feds to bribe the states or individuals into doing something. But as far as ordering them to do something, not with the exception of conscription, the draft
is
the only other thing. But that was something else. Okay. But anyway, the point is that this is going to go right to the Supreme Court. There's no question about it. This, to my way of thinking, finally, it gives what we call a second bite at the apple of the court, a second bite at the apple.
Okay.
In 2004, I think, when the Raich decision was handed down, that was the one about the marijuana in California.
Right.
And they used Wickard v. Filburn as a precedent.
Right.
And that was decided in 1942. And, of course, I decided to call it Wicked v. Filburn because Claude Wickard was
Look,
the...
My gang, which I can't talk about because it's super secret, is the most important thing to me now. And if you two don't like it, you can just pass the blunt to the nigger on your left.
Good. The blunt.
We're talking about marijuana, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. So anyway, the Supreme Court, the point is...
Way to pay attention, man. That's great.
So how does this case get to Raich, though?
Okay.
Wait a second. I missed that one, Jimmy. Let's see it again.
Is there's no smoke in this room.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody take
the Bob Marley music.
Yeah, that's right.
The damn Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's taken effect. There's no question. The legal scholars are divided on the merits of the cases, and they want to question whether it could pass constitutional muster, the federal government's power over states and individuals, so forth. One guy says, and I'm going to come back to this, most consequential lawsuits of our generation. But here's the thing. Both the state lawsuits challenge the federal government's authority under the Commerce Clause, which grants Congress the power to regulate commerce among the states. And the Florida suit is also going to cite the 10th Amendment, which is kind of unusual.
Yes, I heard that.
That's interesting.
Which they should.
Of course they should. But my point is this. It's under the Commerce Clause. So right away, what are we talking about?
That's
the
right.
Commerce Clause was eviscerated in 1942 by Wickard v. Filburn. And that was the one we've talked about many times, probably one of the very worst decisions that still overhangs us today. That was where the guy was growing wheat on his own farm, and he...
Corn on his own farm.
Use.
None of it left the farm.
None of it left the farm.
He fed his pigs, he ate his pigs, he ate his
corns, whatever.
And they called it interstate commerce.
And they said because... The fact that you're not buying from a corn farmer and Iowa
has
an effect on prices.
And if everybody did it, then it would really have a big effect on commerce. And since Congress is empowered to regulate interstate commerce, quote unquote, that then gives them the ability to.
Okay.
Genius.
I read the opinion, and of course
brilliant.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Well, here's the deal. There's two things. There's this. The case was decided basically on two items, one of which was in the opinion and one which was not in the opinion. Hmm. In the opinion was, just as you said, what if everybody did it? It's supposedly a rhetorical question. It's not. The fact is, if everybody raised their own corn, everybody would have corn. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, so, and your point is, the way all got...
Well, their point was that it gives them jurisdiction.
But my point is that the paragraph 6 or whatever of the opinion said something like, it was long.
If everybody had their own replicator, then who would grow any corn?
Well, of course.
Who would build a replicator?
Well, you know, you can find people.
I'd replicate.
No, I mean, once you have a replicator.
Right, you can kind of replicate a replicator.
Right.
Especially if you have a big enough one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm
that's
all about that.
What I'm talking
it's
about.
Like that. Mm-hmm. It's like that, what was that smasher? What is it, what is the thing that you put the paper in? And
shredder?
The shredder.
Yeah.
The shredder.
On the Simpsons, when Quimby, when they go, we're on to you, Quimby, and it's about something stupid, he goes, oh, my God. And, like, they take this, he throws the documents into the shredder, then they take the shredder and put it into a bigger shredder and shred that shredder, and then he escapes on horseback.
Well, the other thing was, it was on Mythbusters or something, they showed our Discovery Channel, one of them, they showed the biggest shredder in the world.
Yeah.
It's like 4,000 horsepower. And it'll like chew up refrigerators.
Not a problem.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is this, that Wickard is going to be under Raich, which was the marijuana thing. Mm-hmm. Both sides came in and said, look, Wickard is a precedent. You have to go along with it. And the other side said, look, it's time to overturn Wickard. And the court, I think 6-3, actually, and surprisingly Scalia went with the majority on this one, said, sure enough, we're going to go with the precedent. That is to say, with Wickard. So, but the point is that the Wickard originally was decided, as I mentioned, primarily on two items. One was the supposedly rhetorical question, what if everybody did it? And the obvious answer for most people was chaos would result. Well, it wouldn't. I mean, it's not a rhetorical question. In fact, there wouldn't be a problem if everybody did it. Everybody'd have their corn.
It'd
and
be self-sufficient.
Exactly. No problem at all. So it wouldn't have been a problem.
And not only that, that's not the circumstance. The circumstance is it was just this one guy. So you don't get to regulate just this one guy because it's an if statement that doesn't exist. It's a non-existent hypothetical.
That too. Okay. But that goes along with what I'm saying. But I don't believe that was not in the opinion, okay, that was rendered.
Right, that's my argument.
I understand that. And as I say, I'm going to write an amicus letter to the court myself.
Write an amicus brief, man.
Oh, whatever.
Bring it, Jim.
But Jeff's a member of the federal bar.
Okay.
You know, if you wrote the thing, you know, hey, you go send him that. Wait, did you ever send him the little iPods of the Jimmy Doan show clips on there?
No. Anyway, here's what was not put in the opinion.
Thought.
Here's what was not put in the opinion. And in fact,
address.
Was probably the major reason. And this is what I think the justices probably have to look at. And that is, this was passed, this was argued about days after we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. Literally, the Germans were blowing up millions, or if not, let me put it this way, hundreds of thousands of tons of shipping up and down the East Coast. And the Japanese basically were panicked. We were panic-stricken that they were going to invade, San Francisco, California, right. I mean, literally, we were on a survival.
Salute to K-Man.
Yeah. We were on a in the early months of 1942, and this was ultimately handed down in, I think, in October of 42. But the whole point is, the decision, the argument and everything happened during a time when we were on a severe war footing, literally thought we might lose the war. The point is that we all know during any war, no matter what a constitution you have, it goes out the window during the war. We understand that. It happened during the Revolutionary War.
I think you may recall, was 9-0.
Right. It was 9-0. And, of course, they were all Roosevelt appointees.
Right.
And he had made it crystal clear when he appointed them, you do what I say or you're not getting on. I mean, this was back in the days when there was the litmus test was you go out into the office and he said, either you're going to play ball. And he said, no, well, I'm my own guy. He said, get out. You know, I want slaves on the court for the time being. So then the war comes along and we are on a survival footing. And literally, if didn't matter what said, the Constitution went out the window, as you well know. They impounded a whole bunch of people from the West Coast.
Well, that may be an argument to distinguish Wickard as a precedent.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
Right.
And that's the point that I want to make to the Supreme Court.
All right, Jimmy, I'll help you do it.
And the point is this.
We're writing an amicus brief.
I want to tell them that the war is over.
All right. Who we got? Counselor Bart? Any other counselors out there want to participate in the amicus brief? Now, that's what we're doing.
So
yeah,
anyway,
Councilors Lizzie, Councilor Tommy, Councilor Ingram.
That was what was not in the opinion, and yet I'll guarantee you that was the reason for the ruling. And that was the reason it was 9-0. We were literally afraid the United States was going to be invaded and subdued by two foreign powers, one on each coast. And as I said, we all know during the Civil War, during the First World War, during the Revolutionary War, the Constitution goes out the window. The Congress forgot to put it back in after the Second World War on this particular thing. They should have, the Supremes in 1946, about 20 minutes after the A-bomb or after the signing on the battleship Missouri, should have said, you know, all that stuff we did the last couple of years, no.
We take it back.
We take it back, yeah. And this is an opportunity now.
Well, I don't think they got a chance for a while.
No, they didn't. They had a chance with Raich.
And they blew it. 60 years after.
So what? That's what I'm saying. Now they have a second bite at the apple.
Okay.
And this time I want them to get it right because here's the deal. It is interesting to find out that they call economic activity, that this affects economic activity. What this means is it also affects economic activity if you don't do something. That is to say, if I lay around in my house and don't raise corn, that can be regulated. So now they
don't give them any ideas.
No, what I'm saying is that if they can tell you how much you can grow, they can now tell you how much you must grow.
Sure.
I mean, the whole point is
their argument is so expansive that it includes any activity that you
any
could possibly.
I mean, literally on your own private property. I mean, they could come in. This was corn.
I agree. Wasn't that Holmes, Oliver Wendell Holmes, who wrote that opinion?
No.
Was that Hughes?
No, that was in 1942. Yeah. Holmes had long since retired.
Are you sure? Yeah. Did he retire before?
I'm not even.
I'll find Jimmy on that one.
It sounds like a Holmes opinion. It's either a Holmes or.
Holmes, by the way, forget it. Think for a moment. One thing about Holmes, I will say, and this is something that was interesting. When Holmes decided or wrote the opinion on the Seventh Day Adventist thing, or what I forget which one that was, literally. Chaos resulted from that, and it wasn't 6 months later. He begged somebody to come in so they could reverse themselves, and they did. And that was on passing out leaflets in a town or something. I mean, what happened is these Seventh-day Adventists were being lynched.
Yeah, he didn't really beg on that one, but I know what you mean. He took it back a little bit.
He took it back. Well,
he felt like they carried his former opinion too far in their next opinion.
Whatever. The point is,
I have not a lot of sympathy for him because he, in my opinion, he was a very good writer.
He was a wordsmith. He was fabulous. And I mean, he was, you know, you're not allowed to have bumper sticker justice.
and that's exactly what it was.
That was bumper. I'm
he
telling
was really
you,
good.
He was good at that. I mean, yeah. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Of course you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Nothing happened.
Yes, you can. Right. You know, you're responsible for doing it. And of course, what if there is a fire? Hello. I mean, it's just, I, you know, this, as I say, it's bumper sticker justice, and I don't, and I, and he was very good at it.
If there is a fire, well, of course that is going to hurt you, but. Yeah, no, he was, but anyway, well, okay, Jimmy, I'm on board with this. We'll help you. I'll help you write this brief.
Okay, but you, I mean, this to me is it would finally restore, you know,
a lot of things that need restoring.
Well, that's one of that, but this would finally put some of the Constitution back where it's supposed to be, and we could have our control over our own private lives.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Now, let me tell you what they're going to say. What they're going to say is, I can tell you what the government's going to say on this. They're going to say, look, if you reverse this, you can't imagine the chaos that will result in the government. I mean, because the Interstate Commerce Commission and all these rulings that we've been doing for the last 60 or 70 years, you know, I mean, we don't, it'll be just unmitigated chaos. And of course, my answer to that is,
oh, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard come over a set of earphones.
But unfortunately.
Exactly. But my point is, it's going to happen sometime. Why not now? And you guys are in here for life. You know,
I gotta say this. I'm gonna unfortunately cast a little shadow over this in that another one of the seven or so identified legitimate reasons for making a ruling on a constitutional issue
is
the potential result in chaos.
I understand that. But here
it's my opinion the weakest one of them all.
Well, not only that, here's the deal then in that case, in our brief, we have to say that there will be no chaos.
Well,
we'll just say there won't be. Some may argue that this will create a chaotic situation. No, it won't. Sincerely yours.
Right. I think we will.
That's all there is to it. Yeah, that's it. And so we will eliminate that argument by just denying it.
Deny.
That's how it works.
I like it.
Okay.
Use your own tactics against them,
I'll tell you right now, if we could get Wickard overturned, it would be...
Oh, man.
No, that would be one of the most monumental things ever to happen in our life.
A nice blow. And here's the thing, Jimmy. I'm hoping, and I don't mean in a sexual way, I'm hoping that Stevens will...
What did you say?
This is a leap.
Get out through the wall.
This is a leap that I want to see how you got from this.
I don't know. No. All I was going to say was this. With Stevens out, hopefully we will get somebody that will be willing to stand up to the legislature.
Do you know who's appointing it? Him, her?
The thing is that...
Could be a shim.
The thing is that the history of Supreme Court justices, as we know, there's only been 107 of them.
Yeah.
And the history is that it's about a 50-50 shot whether they turn out like they were before. Somehow, as soon as they hear the words, I've been appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States.
I can't be fired.
Exactly. Mm.
What I've always... This is like being... This is
life,
like,
tenure.
This is like being made God.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the top of the other branch.
Right. And you are now God, and I'll tell you how many people would love to do the Jim Carrey, you know, Morgan Freeman, you know, God thing. I mean,
All I'm saying, people change. Change.
And I've done a lot of reading about a lot of the justices, not all 107 of them, but I mean, you and I both know that I've done a lot of research on this. But it does seem somehow that the conservatives switch more to being interventionist than it does the other way around. That is to say, if they appoint a liberal judge, I haven't remembered them swinging so much over to the constructionist.
I've seen that happen. You're right. I think probably in recent times the switch has been more the other direction. But what I just really want is one that is willing, that believes that the Supreme Court is a strong third of the government. That is, that they really are an independent branch that has the power, the legitimacy to overrule the legislative branch.
Right.
Because what you often hear is about the, quote, counter-majoritarian difficulty, that being the Supreme Court is unelected. And so people will decry the court in its power and just say, oh, they're really not supposed to do anything, but just...
Let the legislature have its will.
Right.
The point, the problem is this. One of the things, the reason the Supreme Court is there, you think about it for a second. Without the Supreme Court at all, say we only had two branches of government, that's a recipe for tyranny.
Right.
Because there then would be no way you could just walk all over the Constitution. It wouldn't mean a thing. So
right.
The idea is that supposedly the Supreme Court is that barrier.
Right.
That separates us from tyranny.
And they've been so weak since the Roosevelt Court.
And to the extent that they let the executive branch and the legislature get away with trampling on the Constitution, they haven't done their job.
Right.
We count on them only. The fact is that the executive branch has a monopoly on the use of force, on the violent use of force against the citizenry. And if you unleash that, it always
happens. I think it is time we demonstrated the full power of the station.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And that's what they would do. I mean, it happens. It always happens invariably. So the Supreme Court, and it's just a bunch of words. And as we know, Jackson, you know, told him to go take a hike, you know, when the Supreme Court ruled that the Indians.
But that's about the only time.
That is about the only time. My point is, though, they don't have an army.
Well, they do have an army. The Marshals. Are their army. I mean, they've got some soldiers.
Really?
Yeah. But
not many.
Well, they don't really compare to what they have is like they have sheriffs and they have policemen. But they don't have.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean the sheriffs, the statute that establishes the sheriff, the very first thing in the statute says the duty of the sheriff shall be to execute the orders of the judiciary.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, they're called the executive, but they're supposed to follow what the courts say
right.
The law is.
Right.
So, when the judge issues the order, the police will do it.
Or they won't.
Well, I mean, for the most part, they do.
Right, I know that.
That's
just
what they do.
I know that. But, I mean, if they choose, if the judge said, deliver this subpoena to the house over here on what? Because we.
That's what they do. Okay.
No, it's good. It's good. No, it's good. The sheriff, as we know, is historically, especially here in the South, they just said, nah, I'm not going to bother with that. And they just don't, you know.
They're pretty good about it.
I know they are pretty good. I'm saying that if they decide not to, who shows up then?
Well, right. And the Supreme Court will... The actual Supreme Court has fewer. I mean, what they're hoping is that then all of the lower courts then order right. all of those people to do stuff, and that those people will do it.
I still think a pretty good sized SWAT team could take them out.
Well, they could, but that's serious. I mean, that's major.
No, I understand that. I understand. And that's what my point though is. And you're right. It is so serious. And that's why the court ought to get the little backbone.
I want somebody, and I know you're going to go crazy on this one, and Stitch will probably jump out the window on this too, but I want somebody from the 11th Circuit out in California.
That's the 9th, you mean.
The 9th. Is it the 9th?
Yeah, the 9th.
Okay. I mean,
actually,
there is crazy people in San Francisco.
The 9th. There is somebody that is being suggested.
Is that right?
I believe there is somebody. There was like... Four that they've already, you know, kind of...
Because those are the people that sent up the race case to begin with. Number one, there's a group out there that did that. And, I mean, that court...
This is, of course, one of the things that's a little nerve-wracking about, a little scary about that is be careful what you wish for.
I know. I don't want to find
the more wretched hive
exactly.
scum and the...
I don't want to get in Earl Warren. And that's what you're rolling the dice.
Rolling the dice with the United States of America
yeah.
and all of our freedoms. Okay, I'm putting on the line here. Come on in. What do you got?
I got nothing here. I got buckus.
I don't know. I'll take Stevens to me. I'll take anybody.
Almost anybody.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost anybody.
Yeah. No,
only the Earl Warren with Hillary Clinton. That we could get that would be worse.
Yep, I agree. Okay,
we're gonna take a break.
Okay, we're gonna write that brief though.
Woo!
And we'll publish it on the JD Show blog.
Word.
Hey, now I got zero. I got zero. I got no bid here. I got zero. I'm standing at zero. Anybody want to go island zero? I got zero right now. Okay, over there, no, zero. I got none. I got zilch. I got bupkis. I got zero. Nothing. Hey.
Anybody want to go higher than zero? Like, that's always a good one there, man.
Well, this is good. Stitch doesn't have to drive
we
home.
We got the all Stitch chair.
And Counselor Curtis doesn't have to go far
nope.
anymore, not like the old days.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Boy, it sure beats.
There's a big, huge monster music, some kind of big music thing in Mount Dora, like on the it's either next weekend or the weekend.
Okay, big in Mount Dora? The only thing big in Mount Dora is the mount in the name.
No. Actually, this is, I was reading in the paper here. Apparently, there's it's...
Actually, there's a gigantic flea market there. Renegers and flea market and...
Well, there's supposed to be some big music swap meet down there coming up. In a
they also have statues of
I got the
deity,
this was
Jack
a once-a-year thing.
We'll be back in a minute on the Jimmy Doan Show, April 13, 2010. We want you to stick around.
Yeah.
So does that. Enjoy. With special guest Dave.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. That you really are now. Got to get in straight. How could I ever be late when you're my woman taking up my time? Oh, oh, how could you ever allow? I wonder how I would get out of pocket for fun. I could get the man.